Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Westwood One. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, December 10th, 2018, your home for esports and gaming radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we've got to talk about the release of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, which came out over the weekend and took the gaming world by storm. Plus, the weekend saw Norris and Robbie traveling out to Boston for the Overwatch Collegiate Cup, while Joe and I attended an event with the Detroit Renegades. We'll tell you all about it. Those conversations are ahead today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today talking about the Game Awards. The annual show was held over the weekend and saw the announcement of some major new releases and, of course, determined the Game of the Year. Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint Radio crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Over at the Checkpoint Drop Board, Norris Howard.
Smash!
And no longer at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan.
Fired from Checkpoint News Desk.
I was not fired. I was replaced.
Disgraced from the Checkpoint News Desk.
Jeez.
Dishonorably discharged.
Yeah. Oh. So let's talk about the Game Awards, Jeff Keighley's annual celebration of the medium that we all love so much. This was actually a really interesting show. I have to give it to Jeff. I have not been impressed with the Game Awards in years past. This year felt a little bit more right on.
Here's part of what they did that I thought was very intelligent. There were a few awards that they knew nobody cared about,
so and they just breezed through
Keighley up there. He just ran through like eight of them at a time.
He rattled a bunch of them off in a row, and you're right, that was smart. Even with the condensed categories, like, honestly, it was still a 3-hour show.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
You know, I was still up till midnight watching the damn thing. And, while it was good, I think that what helped it was some of the major programming decisions. You know, some of the announcements were good. And, you know, the Game Awards being seen as a platform to make announcements about games, I think, is a great thing. However, I think the biggest difference that I noticed is that in years past, they've tried to get popular musicians on the card and get
Phoenix
them to
was
perform.
A popular musician?
Maybe in 07.
Yeah, Phoenix was in 06, but not when they had him on. They've had Run the Jewels on. They've had Churches on. And, I mean, those are all music groups that I actually really enjoy, but have always questioned why they would be at the Game Awards. This year, featuring the Game Awards Orchestra, much, much better, much more with keeping in the theme and the spirit, and I really enjoyed the
Game
Orchestra. Y'all
like the Devil Trigger performance?
No, that was terrible.
That was so... Okay, that was awful from, like, a production standpoint.
It was
too.
All over the
it
map.
It was all over the map. The audio was horrid.
It really was. That was not a good performance. But all of the other ones, all of the other performances, because they were actual... It was actual music from games.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what I think is the biggest difference.
Did you like the orchestra as conducted by Hans Zimmer?
That was pretty...
He's just collecting his check, man.
I'm fine with it. I think that's pretty dope.
I have to say, it was really brave of them to start the show off with the what was it, the director from A Way Out? I'm surprised they brought him back after last year's.
They did. Well,
you keep him around.
Joseph Fares is his name.
Keep him around because he's electrifying.
Well, they put him on the pre-show, and I understand why. Like, he opened the pre-show just in case he decided to,
just
you know,
we
go
need to cut this later.
Exactly, right, yeah. I was really kind of impressed with what I saw. Some major announcements taking place. First, that Joker is going to be the first DLC character added to Smash.
Persona
5.
I think that
don't put a question mark on that.
Anyone who's a fan of Persona is going to see this as a huge boon for the series. I agree. I think that this is a great character addition. Does this mean we're actually going to see Persona 5 on the Switch?
I think it's probably a good bet. To
yeah,
be honest.
I mean, think almost anyone you see in Smash probably means at least one of their titles is making its way to the Switch at some point.
That's fair. We saw legend of the game industry Ed Boon come out on stage,
and we all went, "Ed Boon is still alive?"
I literally tweeted, Get Ed Boon off the stage if he's not talking about the new Mortal Kombat.
And you know what he did? Unveiled Mortal Kombat 11, and this is just absolutely ridiculous. They did it to a 21 Savage song. So many people have complained about the use of the 21 Savage song. Stop.
It was perfect.
It really was. It was very cool. I really liked that announcement.
Did you like the way that he announced it, too? He was like, all right, and here's this year's nominees, and then it just cuts into the trailer.
It
was well done.
I legitimately wondered if that was a production mistake or not.
I was like did if that have was a senior moment? Was what
that,
happened here?
I think
here?
That was supposed to go afterwards and somebody hit the videos in the wrong order. But either way, it was a great announcement.
Yeah.
We also got Outer Worlds from Obsidian Entertainment, which is the makers of the... Now, here's the thing. I was watching the chat room, the Twitch chat, which I should never
you
do.
You should never have done that.
Why would you
I should
do
never
that,
do that. It's like, one. It's like 4chan cancer for your eyes. It's
That's
terrible.
True.
And the thing is that when this was announced, I just saw Fallout 76 is garbage just flood into the chat.
Obsidian has nothing to do with that.
Obsidian made the original two Fallout games in Fallout New Vegas, you dolts.
Yeah.
Like, don't get that confused with a different development company. That's Bethesda. Save all your ire for Bethesda, not for Obsidian, who actually makes really good games. And I cannot wait for the Outer Worlds.
I have to say, honestly, all of the game announcements, even if they're not ones that I would personally pick up myself, were actually all pretty darn good.
They were not bad. Mm-hmm. Also, there was announcement of a remastered edition and more platforms available for the Stanley Parable. That's a personal favorite of mine. And an announcement of a new Dragon Age game. That's pretty cool. I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
When they had Casey Hudson on and he just keeps dropping hints that they're working on more than just Anthem. And the whole time, me and Sarah are on the couch just going, shut up, Casey.
Pretty much.
You do not. Shut up.
You're pretty listening much. To Checkpoint XP, your source for esports and gaming radio. I want to thank everyone listening out in ESPN Pittsburgh and on the Fanatic in Philadelphia. We're currently talking about the game awards, all of the announcements, and then let's talk about some of the winners. Best Direction, God of War, getting the nod there. I think they definitely deserve
100%.
It.
100%. See, here's the thing. At first, everybody was very, very, sort of poo-pooing the fact that Red Dead had won the first few early awards.
They won a lot of the minor categories, mm-hmm. and it looked like they were going to be, building towards a sweep. But I think of the major categories, one of their only big take-homes was Best Score. And, I mean, honestly, the music in that game is phenomenal, but I'm not sure that I would have given Red Dead 2 Best Score.
I mean, I can see where they went because tonally, it's absolutely perfect. When you play the game, even when it was the games that it was up against, when you put it against Red Dead, it's sort of, the soundtrack fades into the rest of the game and blends so well, you barely recognize that
totally,
it's there.
Very true.
That's
but
true.
It that's why it won it, I think, because it blends so
well. We've got to talk about these various esports categories because Cloud9 taking esports organization of the year, esports team of the year, without the London Spitfire, I think. I think that it was weird to separate those
Cloud9?
Two.
See, that was my question because
it should have been all of Cloud9.
I feel
honestly.
Like this was more like they won this more as an organization than a team.
See, I think
it's
counting Rocket League and it's counting League of Legends. Legends
I agree.
And CSGO.
See, but
well,
I feel
but
like that's got to be specified.
Then they shouldn't have included the London Spitfire as an entry in there.
Exactly.
That would have made it a whole lot more clear, and I would have said, absolutely.
I feel like Astralis got robbed.
Well, but this is the year of Cloud9. Honestly, for as strong as Astralis has been, it's mostly been in one game. Cloud9 has been winning among multiple games. I think you got to give them the nod there. Also, esports event of the year going to League of Legends World Championships.
Overwatch got robbed.
I think Overwatch did get robbed.
So here's the thing.
But that KDA performance,
that's what put it over the top.
I think it did, honestly.
Especially when you put that up next to DJ Khaled.
But the event itself, when we're talking about the actual play, like I just feel like for it to be its first season,
yes.
Overwatch completely overperformed.
I agree with you.
I think if the DJ Khaled thing goes over better and it doesn't end in a stomp, then I think Overwatch probably wins.
Okay, fair.
Okay, that's also fair. And we also got Esports Athlete of the Year, and this was our personal pick.
Yes!
All of us were united in this one and saying it had to be Sonic Fox. Sonic Fox or Riot. And yes, it did indeed go
to
Sonic Fox.
First of all, this is a great example of stop writing your speeches. All right. When people know that they're going to win stuff, stop it. Go up there. Let the emotion wash over you.
Yeah.
Maybe risk saying something that's going to piss some people off. That's okay.
Well.
In the after his speech and the subsequent vitriol that Sonic Fox got online and seeing him completely
shrug it off.
No, he didn't shrug it off. He just eviscerates everybody on his social media. I love the
kid. It was great. It was great to see.
I wish him nothing more than
absolutely.
The best.
And we got to talk about the big winner. Of course, everyone thought that this was going to go to Red Dead Redemption 2. Game of the year going to God of War.
It's deserved.
Here's the thing. I know that a member of the development team of God of War listens to this show. I got to say, well deserved.
It's
congratulations
deserved.
To you guys. You guys deserved every bit of it, and honestly, that was my pick for game of the year. Couldn't have gone any better.
I think they're both such stellar games, that and Red Dead Redemption 2. I just think God of War managed to accomplish a lot of what Red Dead did in a shorter time frame. It's a tighter experience.
Yes, and that's what I think made it better.
Yeah.
I mean, for as much
it is more concise.
For as good as Red Dead 2 is, it is also like complicated and bloated, and it feels every bit of that as well. So I think to have the tighter experience with God of War getting the nod, I think was very, very well deserved. And, you know, you got to think, God of War's been out for at least 4 months at this point. The fact that they were still able to stay top of mind with the voting populace is pretty amazing. But listen, we want to hear from you. Do you agree with the winners? What announcement got you most excited? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint. Over the weekend, half of the Checkpoint crew was in Boston for the Overwatch Collegiate Cup, while the other half was here in Detroit for an event with the Detroit Renegades. We'll tell you all about our exciting weekends coming up in about 15 minutes here on Checkpoint. But ahead next, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate released over the weekend, and it seems like just about everyone is playing it. We'll give you our first impressions coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Make sure you visit our website at CheckpointXP.com. We've reworked our on-demand archive to be a podcast. That's right, Checkpoint XP Daily is now a podcast. Get all the same discussions and interviews featured on our nationally syndicated radio show as a daily podcast. Subscribe to Checkpoint XP Daily at our website, CheckpointXP.com. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, over the weekend, half the crew was out in Boston for the Overwatch Collegiate Cup, while the other half was here in Detroit for an event with the Detroit Renegades. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, we've got to talk about Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. The game released over the weekend, and it seems like everyone everywhere is playing it.
I mean, over the weekend, obviously we were busy with those events, but I've still plugged like almost 30 hours into it already.
Is that it?
That it?
Man,
dang,
is
man.
That it? Me and Norris were plugging away on
yeah,
that
pretty
thing.
Pretty much,
in the
man.
Airport, on the plane, in our room.
Whoa.
Inappropriate.
That, why is that much? How can you play it that much? Like, I mean, I've played maybe, I don't know, like 4 or 5 hours of Smash, probably even less than that. And I kind of like, it's sort of like my bathroom game at the moment, right? Mm-hmm. Like it is a perfect bathroom game, but it's like I'm playing it in small spurts in between playing other games.
I'm gonna tell you what happened. Robbie and I, you know, we both got in, we were on the plane or whatever, and he and I sort of looked at each other, and he asked me, he's like, how many characters have you unlocked so far?
That's what it is right now.
And
that's
then
the driving force.
That I turned back, I was like, oh, about 5. He's like, I got 7. And I look at my paltry roster. And I was like, no way I could let him unlock more characters than me
it's
right
it's
now.
All about like, oh, I just unlock Snake. How'd you get Snake? I just got Cloud. How'd you get Cloud?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, because it seems like there is some rhyme and reason to it. Yeah.
So there's a variety of different ways to unlock characters. That's kind of cool.
But I know in the classic mode, which is the mode that I've been playing the most, because it's, you know, it's the old school, playthrough.
It's N64 Smash.
Master Hand. Yeah, it's N64 Smash. Each character unlocks a specific character.
Oh, okay.
There's actually a list of them. But if you play in Smash mode, it's just timed and it's random who pops up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay, so you can literally unlock in every mode, because in Spirit mode, just as you unlock characters for Spirit mode, you also
they
get
become
them
unlocked.
Correct.
For the whole game. Interesting. So I have played nothing but Spirit mode.
That's mostly what I've been. I have been sticking to Spirit mode myself, because I actually find that really fun.
It's kind of like an RPG meets Smash.
It is like you get to deck out your character with certain like different bonuses
and abilities.
Who you're fighting has different gimmicks, so it's not always like a 1v1. That's my biggest problem with Smash, is like getting in like a 1v1 situation where it's like, because I don't know why
you're bugging. That's pure Smash.
Gives me anxiety. I lived with a pro Smash player. It gives me anxiety because I'm like, I'm about to get my ass kicked. That's exactly what I'm thinking in my head every time. And then I'm like over jumping, and I end up killing myself. Like,
everyone does that, man. Everyone does that.
Really? No, you're trying to make me feel better.
No,
I think.
Yes, we are. My biggest problem when it comes to Smash is A, not shielding enough, and B, like misusing my jumps.
No, Robbie, you are right. You don't shield enough,
and I misuse my jumps. A lot too.
Let me tell you something. I am almost 30 hours into Spirit mode, and I have yet to use my shield or throw somebody or dodge.
Oh my gosh.
Have you been playing like level threes?
No, I'm on normal Spirit mode. Although, admittedly, some of those fights are stupid amounts of hard, and I'm sure it's because I'm not playing properly.
I'll tell you this right now. Spirit mode for me is the most aggravating, because sometimes you'll come up against one, and usually if there's like a big sort of hook to the fight, you can get a spirit to help minimize that.
Yeah, yeah.
But sometimes you'll come up and be like, you know what? That doesn't seem so bad. I bet I can do it with what I got.
Sometimes. Here's the thing about Spirit's Mode and the little bit that I played in. Nate is right. I like the fact that, you know, each fight has its different variables. But the thing that I'm enjoying the most really is like collecting the little spirits.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And
leveling up and doing the sphere grid effectively.
Yeah, it's Pokemon. Basically,
there is a lot of like kind of Pokemon aspects into it. Yeah, I like that.
Meets Persona, because you can then slaughter your spirits and turn them into better ones.
Yep. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN Central Texas, KZRI and KTON in Waco, Texas, as well as ESPN 97.5 in Houston and The Horn 104.9 in Austin, Texas. We're currently talking about the recently released Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. So let's get down to some brass tacks here. All right. What do you guys think about the controls adapted for the Switch?
All right.
Now, none of us have the Pro Controller, right?
He does.
You do?
Haven't had a chance to use it yet because you can only pair it through the dock.
Right, which is silly.
Yeah.
Anyway, but like, let's talk about the way that the controls have been adapted for the Switch, because I have heard the least complaints about the control adaption for this generation than I have other adaption of Melee
Since Melee.
No, let me just clear the air on this right now, okay? If you are playing Smash and you are complaining about the controls and you are not a pro player or aspiring pro player, shut up. Seriously.
I think that they're pretty tight. Like, with the Joy-Cons, they're actually remarkably good.
I've complained about the Joy-Cons and how they give me like carpal tunnel after I play them for.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm playing Smash, and I don't know if it's because I'm having so much fun, but I've literally just completely forgot about it. I've played it, you know, in handheld mode. I've detached them and played them nunchuck mode.
Handheld mode is pretty decent. I think that translates pretty well. I haven't played it on the television. Have you guys?
I have.
How does it translate on
the
TV?
It's really nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
To add on to Norse, though, even if you aren't a pro player, you have the Pro Controller and you have the GameCube controllers you can use. There is no reason to complain.
If you are not a pro, shut up about a GameCube controller. Seriously.
But I'm just saying, because it's an option, there's no reason to complain. Just go get the GameCube controller.
No, because I can understand complaining about having to buy another peripheral to play
game. That is supremely annoying.
In the way that it was originally intended.
Sure.
But This game was made for the Switch. That
and
is
it controls
how
it was, like it was made for the
yes,
Switch.
Yes, that is how it was intended to be played.
All right, let's talk about Spirit Mode, because this is the another new addition to the game. Joe and I, yeah. As we said, we've been playing it a lot.
Yes.
The RPG additions to it are really, really nice. And I think it doesn't tell much of a story, but I don't know.
No.
I'm kind of it's more engaging than just, hey, let's work our way up the roster of Master Hand.
Well,
you know?
It's all about, like, you want to see, like, what, at least for me, I think the big thing is every time I go to a fight, it's like, oh, which character am I going to get now? Which character have been put
in
there, you know?
And that is actually a nice little, like, carrot to dangle in mm-hmm. front of the audience. I think that that's a nice way to do it. And again, the multiple different ways to be able to unlock characters, I think, is a smart idea.
And whenever you go into, like, the special dungeon area, so you've got, like, one where you go into a military base, and of course, it's Snake at the end of that base, but you have to go through a bunch of fights in there. And, like, this is where I first, like, started realizing the difficulty curve. It's all over the map on this. So there was one fight in that base where you have to fight.
So it's not just me that is struggling.
Oh, no. There are some fights that are just crazy hard.
Some hard.
There's one
fights.
Where
they're
sprinkled
all
you're
over
up against
place.
Dr. Wily. And to get him, you have to fight 8 metal Mega Men and then Dr. Mario. So it's the 8 Robot Masters. And then
I did that one earlier. That one's terrible.
Did you clear it?
No.
Oh, it took me 2 days to clear it.
I went to a different path. I said, screw this.
Yeah. I didn't go back to do that until I realized you don't get the little star on the map until you clear every fight in there. And it was driving me insane every time I looked at the map. I had to go back and do it. But yeah, that one's insanely hard.
Yeah.
I love all the different, like, elements of the map. Like, oh, these are the certain areas you can only get to when you have the right spirit.
When you have,
like,
the right spirits. Yeah, that's what I was going to talk about is needing spirits to open up certain part of the map. There is, and I think that that's really engaging and really fun.
I have one right now. It's like, you could pass this part of the map if you have someone who drives a school bus, and I'm like combing through my Nintendo now. It's like,
who drives a school bus?
No, you can't just think of Nintendo characters. You have to think of any video game character ever.
The only person coming to my head is Miss Frizzle.
By the way, I have a theory on who is going to be one of our upcoming DLCs.
Okay.
Because they aren't a spirit anywhere. Of the 1,000 or so spirits that there are,
yeah,
Phoenix Wright appears nowhere in this game.
DLC. It's happening.
But there are other Ace references,
yeah,
aren't
it's
there?
It's happening.
That's actually a pretty good theory.
It's happening!
Let's talk. Has anyone had the stones to go online with this yet? Because I know.
And the only thing we did, in a way, the only thing me and Robbie played each other.
That doesn't count. That does not count. Here's the thing, because and Norris, feel free to back me up or challenge me on this.
Sure.
But it feels like any fighting game, I'm so less willing to take it online because I know that I'm going to get eviscerated.
No, you'll get washed.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, has anyone actually had the bravery to go online?
I will.
Like a genuine online
match?
No,
I will tonight because I'm feeling confident enough in my little Mac.
With
little Mac.
Yeah.
Oh, so Norris.
I would
sweet summer
trash.
Child.
I would get put absolutely in the trash. Here's one thing I want to ask.
Totally. It wouldn't even be, like, fun to watch.
So first impressions on the game. Question. Can it supplant Melee? Can it do it?
Yes.
I think if any game could, this would be the one.
It will
they got so much of it right that I think that if there's going to be anyone that does, it is going
to
be
Ultimate.
I'm
going to tell you why it will supplant Melee. Because it has support. It has Nintendo's support. So whatever changes they need to make, those changes will happen and the community will be better for it.
That's actually a really great point because, yeah, with Nintendo getting full force behind the Smash scene, I think that's going to have a big, big effect on how Ultimate plays out in the professional scene. But listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily over the weekend, half of the Checkpoint crew was in Boston for the Overwatch Collegiate Cup, while the other half was here in Detroit for an event with the Detroit Renegades. We'll tell you all about those events ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint Radio. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com. This is Checkpoint, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your source for esports and gaming radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the talk of Las Vegas 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Make sure you're following us at our freshly partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We've got tons of new emotes, including our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes, Tali and Fritz, and possibly a new third cat emote. Our actual cats are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. That's twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Over the weekend, Joe and I had the pleasure of attending an event with the Detroit Renegades at Beacon Park here in Detroit. We're going to tell you all about that, but I want to start with Robbie and Norris. You guys got to head out to Boston for the Overwatch Collegiate Cup at Laugh Boston. Guys, how was it?
It was absolutely amazing. I mean, first of all, this was a really, really cool tournament that the Boston Uprising was hosting. The best collegiate Overwatch teams in all of New England, so the Northeastern United States. And we had four teams. It was Northeastern, Boston University, Emerson, and
UConn.
Northeastern is
they cleared so much better than everybody. So dominant.
And led by a pharmacy team.
Really?
Yes. In the unbreakable GOATS meta, where, you know, three tanks, three healers, that's what everybody's doing right now. They had the chutzpah to run a Pharah and a Mercy and were completely dominant.
Really?
Completely dominant. As a matter of fact, you know, talking about that event, the energy in there was so great. People were like cheering, and they had, you know, Boston U and Northeastern were going head to head. And we talked to main healer from Northeastern Dogs about the event itself.
Yeah, it feels amazing. So me personally, I've been down to Burbank for Blizzard Arena, and I got to see one of the Overwatch games, and it's like maybe not on the same scale, but it's the same energy.
Oh yeah,
everyone just loves Overwatch, and I love being up there. It's so much fun. As a team, this is our first big LAN, and so, yeah, it's just been crazy for all of us.
So, well, I mean, you guys got to see some fresh talent in the Overwatch world. You know, how did this end up comparing to, you know, some of the contenders teams that you've seen compete?
What was really great about this event, and it really sort of reminded me that just because the OWL has taken esports to the next level, that we're not actually losing that grassroots feel. That because of doing events like this, where you focus on your homegrown talent, you know, your colleges, you know, people from just in your city, you really have a chance to showcase people that might not have a chance to make it into contenders.
You know, and I've been thinking more and more and kind of meditating more and more on the idea or the way that collegiate esports sort of fits into the overall scene. And I think that, you know, our trip to UCI and our work with the Boston Uprising has really kind of taught me a lot in that, you know, it's less about the opportunities that maybe college esports offers, the player or the person on the team. And it has more to do with the fact that there is a incumbent, willing, hungry audience to watch esports live on just about every American college campus from coast to coast. Well, and if you're an administrator, that's what, you know, like, you got to think about getting butts in seats for things.
It's an untapped market for most colleges.
Totally, right?
You have the nexus of what is, you know, the esports viewing public, and you put them there and you create esports programs and people will come check it out. But I think even bigger thing as it pertains to the OWL is by having events like this, you can have scouts go to these events.
Yes, absolutely.
And this is a part of how I think collegiate esports can begin to fit into the larger esports puzzle, is when you have those public events, you're going to see talent you wouldn't have been able to see before.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports 1350 AM in Riverside, San Bernardino, as well as the Mighty 1090 in San Diego. We're currently talking about the couple of of events that we saw, we got to participate in over the weekend. The Collegiate Cup with the Boston Uprising down at Laugh Boston. And then Joe and I, we were hanging out with the Detroit Renegades over the weekend in Beacon Park in downtown Detroit.
Yep.
Showing off some awesome Fortnite action with them. The Renegades bringing in their squad, their Fortnite squad, and showing off in front of a group of almost 500 people that came out to watch it.
Yeah, was great.
The turnout was great, and you know, I think the thing that struck me the most was when you looked out at the audience. Like, there was obviously a lot of really young kids. Fortnite is going to drive that kind of audience.
Yes.
But there was also a lot of parents and family there that were really kind of getting into it, and other under normal circumstances, it would be like, you know, like maybe they wouldn't be able to get into it. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, the parents didn't look bored. They looked really engaged in what was going on. I did have an unfortunate moment, though, that was kind of bad for my ego, where a dad started like giving me the motion over sign. So I walk over. He's like, "Hey, can I grab a picture? My kid's a huge fan." And I'm like, aww. I'm really confused. Like, I'm like, sure. So, you know, do a picture, you know, whatever. And he's like, "Yeah, my kid said you'd be here. He said just look for an official looking person with blue hair."
Oh no.
And I'm like, is your kid a fan of Ninja?
Oh no.
And he's like, "Yeah, that's it." And I'm like, "I'm not Ninja."
Oh no. That's got to be brutal.
That was a little heartbreaking. Nate's sitting at the table. He just watches me walk back over looking dejected.
Yeah, I was wondering why you were so deflated to the table.
You should have doubled down on it and have him go home and show his kid.
Ninja, yeah. tell your kid I hate him. Whatever. No. But, you know, one of the things that was really cool was getting to talk to the Renegades and their new team. They all came
We actually got to do a live Q&A from on stage, which was awesome.
We did, and we got to ask them a bunch of questions. I thought one of the most pertinent questions we got to ask them was about their experience, you know, with their parents trying to tell them, "Hey, I want to play games competitively."
Yeah, I guess Jesse and I just saw that there was an opportunity there, and we just talked to our parents about it, and they just went with it. They gave us the support we needed, and yeah, it's worked out for us.
Jordan, one of the X2 twins there from the Detroit Renegades, talking to us about how his family reacted when the twins told them that they wanted to pursue a life of pro gaming, and I think that's pretty amazing.
I think it's cool, by the way, that they're actually twin brothers who both got picked up to be on this team. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you're going to have to move literally to the opposite side of the planet, at least you get to take some family.
Absolutely,
with you.
Right? Yeah, at least you get to know somebody in the transition. But I mean, that entire Fortnite squad is made up of all Australian players, and
some of the best players in
Australia, players in Oceania, and it is really impressive what they were able to do. And in fact, getting a victory royale live on stage, that's pretty impressive.
That's commendable.
That is very impressive. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Did you get to check out either event? If you didn't, you can find the videos on demand over at our Twitch page at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. And make sure you connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP, the first internationally syndicated show for esports and gaming. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow with the latest in esports and gaming news. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Radio, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.